Okay, I'd like to share a beautiful Torah from the Mashgiach Shlita of Moshe Wolfson, describing how everything in these parshios connects to the coming of Mashiach. So we start off at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. It's very gloomy. You know, after selling Yosef, the Shvatim realized that it was hidden from them that Yosef was really a tzaddik, and everything that they did was wrong, and the anguish they caused Yaakov. Reuven realized he made a big mistake when he rearranged his father's bed. So he wanted to fix this avera by rescuing Yosef, and they could bring, you know, give his father some nachas after he got him upset. And he told the brothers, put Yosef in a pit instead of killing him, and I'll come back and rescue him. He comes back and sees that Yosef's gone. He's devastated. He thought Hashem had rejected his tshuva, and he didn't have any peace. Yaakov, you know, thought that his entire life's mission had been destroyed. His life work was to give birth to the 12 Shvatim who would become the Am Hashem, and world history was progressing to this place. And now, when he's so close to his objective, Yosef's gone. So now, being that one of the Shvatim is missing, the whole thing falls apart. The mission's a failure. Yaakov knew that if he would be spared from Gehinnom, and he didn't have that assurance anymore. So Reuven is upset. Yaakov, Yehuda, he's the leader. He's being blamed by all the brothers for this terrible tragedy. He was demoted. He was destroyed. Yosef's gone. Everything is going to be delayed from the bringing the world to its proper purpose. However, Yehuda. Yehuda is compared to a lion, and he doesn't fall into depression, to atzvus, to morashchira. It seemed as if he destroyed everything, but he was mechazik himself, and he started all over again. The very first mitzvah in the Torah is puravu. So Yehuda does that. He marries a woman. We're not sure exactly who she is. I once asked Rabbi Yitzchak Etz Shalom why we don't know her name. What is it? He says, it's not significant. It's not okay. We just know she was the daughter of Shua, and had three kids, Er, Onan, Shelah. And then the worst thing that a parent could possibly ever endure, the death of a child. And the child died because of his avera. It's compounded how much more so. Yehuda's, first son died, and then Er, Tamar remarries Onan, and the second son, tragedy again, right? The same thing. And then Yehuda's wife dies. Meanwhile, while all this is happening, Yosef's all alone in Mitzrayim. He has such a terrible, terrible nisayon that anybody less than Yosef would have failed. That the wife of Potiphar, he's surrounded the whole culture of immorality, of znus, the ervas ha'aretz. She hounded him, day after day for an entire year. She throws him in jail. And the parasha ends off with Yosef, he's sitting in jail. So with all that, very gloomy. But then comes the medrash. Precious Rabbah, pay, hey. Says the Medrash, Vahi ba'isahi vayered Yehuda me'is echov. Bog b'Yehuda v'to'ova nesesor. Omle kapart Yehuda shakart Yehuda to'eva nesab Yisrael Yehuda nasa chulin ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ohev. Okay, so what does it mean? Vahi ba'isahi. That everything had fallen. I'm going to skip a little bit. The Reuven high osik besako v'taniso, right? The Yaakov high osik besako v'taniso. Yehuda high osik likach lo isha. Hakadosh Baruch high osik bori oro shomelech hamashiach. Vayehi ba'esahi vayered Yehuda. So, in other words, everyone else is involved in their own inyanim, and Hakadosh Baruch Hu said is bori oro shomelech hamashiach. He's bringing the Mashiach coming. So we know that the Klal Yisrael has two different redeemers. We have Mashiach ben Yosef. He's going to come and fight the wars against the Goyim. And he's going to pave the way for Mashiach ben David, who comes from Shevet Yehuda. But the idea is that Yosef didn't go down to Mitzrayim for naught. The mother of Mashiach ben Yosef was there. We know that Dina, after she was violated, gave birth to a girl. Right, and she was violated by Shechem, and the Shvatim wanted to kill it. It was an embarrassment. So in order to save her life, Yaakov puts the baby by a sneh. Sneh is a samech, nun, hey, a thorn bush. And then a malach came and took the baby from that thorn bush and brought it down to Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, this baby was adopted by Potiphar and his wife since they were childless. So when Yosef's in Mitzrayim and sees her purity, despite the fact that she's raised in the cesspit of Mitzrayim, he marries her. So her name, Asnas Bas Potiphera. Asnas is like the word Sneh, the adopted daughter of Potiphar. Then after the death of his wife, Yehuda marries Tamar and gives birth to Peretz. Peretz is the ancestor of Mashiach, Ish ben Partzi. a man from the family of the parrots. So Vayhi Ba'isahi, it was at that time, the words introduce the narrative when Yehuda's being demoted, his marriage, his son dies, but really what's happening is, at that point in time, HaMelech HaMashiach Ben David. It's the same gematria, 524. The Torah is telling us, don't be dismayed, keep reading, it's all a plan. There's a hidden light that's going to be right underneath this gloomy narratives, the birth of Mashiach is coming. So when you go to next week's parsha, Parsha's Miketz, and then it continues. We don't know what's going on. Finally, the story strings out until we get to Ani Yosef in Parsha's Vayigash. So when this Egyptian ruler reveals himself, all the questions, there wasn't shot the questions were answered, the questions just dissolved. The lesson says the Mashkiach, Rav Wolfson Shlita, that in Gullis, so many things occur and happen and seem to have no meaning. Especially in our times, right before Mashiach comes, there's so much tragedy. We know so many personal stories, unfortunately, terrible things that are happening. Two Jews were in a terrible car accident last night in Teaneck. And there's so many difficulties that we're dealing with. When Mashiach comes, Hashem's going to reveal Himself, and it won't be Ani Yosef, it'll be Ani Hashem. What you thought was terrible is going to be Ani Hashem. It was goodness in disguise. But history, it seems to be going aimlessly. Generations come and go. It's a wide circle. History's repeating itself. Like, what's the objective? Is the world aiming toward a particular goal? So the Mashkiach said, on Chanukah, we spin the dreidel. And the osios, the shin, nun, gimel, and hey, on the dreidel, they come and go. It seems like the dreidel's just spinning. But he brings the B'nai Yisoschar, says that shin, nun, gimel, hey, is the same gematria as Mashiach, 358. So it's true. World history, which is symbolized by the dreidel, seems to be spinning aimlessly, but there's a center point. There's a center point which everything is turning. The geula is going to come through Mashiach. And on the first day of creation, Hashem created this organos, this amazing light that we can see from one end of the world to the other. But it's hidden. Yosef's tzidkus was undetected by his brothers. They even thought he was the way the Or HaChaim says, he was like, ate zomim on them, he was a rodef. They were selling him in self-defense. Mashiach ben Yosef was hidden even from the Shvatim. They didn't recognize him. Lohikruhu, right? Lohikruhu, they didn't recognize Izgmachu Or HaGonos, 273, that hidden light. Tamar, she saw the Yehuda's not letting her, marry Shela. She disguised herself as a zona, and she's waiting for Yehuda. She did this l'shem Shemayim, Rashi tells us. Yehuda didn't recognize Tamar. V'yachshevel zona, he thought she was a harlot, a zona. Ki kosa paneh, she'd covered her face. So he brings the Mashkiach, beautiful gematria. V'yachshevel zona, he thought she was a zona. Gematria HaMashiach Ben David, 429. Mashiach could be so hidden that even one of the matriarchs could be mistaken for the lowest of the low. She covered her face. That's the gematria Or Melech HaMashiach, 660. The light of Mashiach is hidden. It's the Or HaGonos. So from Chanukah, we get a tremendous koach. Chanukah is a Yom Tov that pulls from Yemos HaMashiach. The physical world is seven. 7 days of the week. But beyond that is the number eight. Eight is something that's above that. That's the essence of Mashiach is eight. The essence of Chanukah is eight. The miracle takes place with Shemen, with the oil. Shemen is like the word Shemona, eight. So one looks at the light of the Chanukah, the Neros, and one sees into the future. We catch a little bit of a glimpse of that Or HaGonos. So continuing now, lighting the Or HaGonos comes in the lowest of all places. The Perek that tells the story of Yehuda being demoted begins with the words Vayered Yehuda. Yehuda goes down. When we start talking about Yosef, it's the Yosef Hurad. Yosef was taken downward. So normally the rule is that Shechin never goes beneath 10 Tefachim. It's based upon a Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah. I think it's on Daf Hey. The exception is Chanukah. We bedavka light the Neros below 10 Tefachim, which shows that the Or HaGonos, the light of Mashiach, comes to the lowest of all places, right? Me'ashpus Yavri Me'avion, right? Everything gets lifted up. So Hashem arranges so both Yehuda and Yosef, they light up that hidden, the Or HaGonos in a Chanukah style. Where does this come from? So, before his death, Yaakov gave over the city of Shechem to Yosef. Right? And when the Jews left Mitzrayim, Yosef's remains were taken and they were interned in Shechem. So he brings from the Arizal that Yerovam ben Novat, the first king of the ten tribes, was a Gilgal, a reincarnation of Yosef. Later, when he sinned, the neshama of Yosef flew away from him and he'll be reincarnated into Mashiach ben Yosef. But Yerovam chose the city of Shechem is the place where he established his malchus, his kingdom. After Yosef was born, so Yaakov felt he was ready to face Esav, because Yosef's the one who can contend with Esav. After Yaakov, you know, got rid of Esav, the power of Yosef, he went to Shechem, which is the place of Yosef's kingdom. So Dina was very much connected to Yosef. In fact, it could be accurate to say that Dina was Yosef, because when Leah became pregnant, she was really pregnant with Yosef, and Rachel had Dina. But Leah davened that they said switch, and so as a fetus, Dina came and occupied the place of Yosef. So putting it all together, it's in Shechem, which is the city of Yosef, that Dina was impregnated with Asnas, the wife of Yosef. So that klipa, that impurity of Shechem ben Chamor, was trapped, a little spark, a little bit of the nitzos of Mashiach ben Yosef. Dina had to be violated by him in order to pull out that spark and give birth to the mother of Mashiach ben Yosef. Shechem ben Chamor is gematria HaMelech HaMashiach ben Yosef, 666. Vateitze Dina went out. The words that introduced the whole story with her getting kidnapped by Shechem, that's the gematria Mashiach ben Yosef, 566. Hashem caused Dina to go out because she had to extract that spark of Mashiach ben Yosef from Shechem. The Torah hints at this, right? At the beginning of the whole story to show there's something deep going on here. But the kidnapping of Dina was a great tragedy for Yaakov, right? The Mefarshim, they find fault with Dina. She wasn't being careful enough, but really it was all being arranged by the conductor with the capital C. When Yaakov then encounters Esav, he hides Dina so that Esav can't marry her. Now, every one of the Shvatim had a twin sister. Yaakov didn't need to hide them. Only Dina had to be hidden because she has the Or HaGanuz. She has that spark of Mashiach inside. Dina, already at birth, was being prepared for this. Fa'acher yalda bas, right? And afterwards, Leah gave birth to a daughter. That's referring to Dina. That's also the gematria HaMelech HaMashiach ben Yosef, 666. So now it starts to come together that Tamar was sitting by the crossroads waiting for Yehuda. The pasuk says, Pesach Einayim, the opening of the eyes. So Medrash sees it's a very significant choice of words. It says, she directed her eyes to the opening that all eyes are directed to her, meaning she was davening that she would be giving birth to the ancestor of Mashiach. So we could suggest that Pesach is hinting that Tamar prepared the light of Mashiach, which is the Or, the light of Chanukah, but Pesach Einayim is gematria v'tzivanu lahadlik ner Chanukah. 670, right? It's a connection because according to Halacha, that the Chanukah is supposed to be put in the Pesach, in the doorway. And the Medrash says the reason that Devorah, the prophetess, was zoich to say Shira was because she prepared the wicks for the menorah in the base of Migdash. Chanukah, when we prepare the fire, the wicks, and the flames, it's a Yom Tov that was set up for Shir Unarananim. A very crucial part of Chanukah is saying the Hallel. Hallel comes from the words Halo Nero, to light up a flame. So in order that our words should qualify to be a halal, it has to be said with a flame, with a cheshek, with a fire, with enthusiasm. You have to prepare for it, anticipate it. Now, Chanukah is really a mitzvah for the last generation. We know there's 613 mitzvahs, but if we include the 7 derabbanans, so there's 620. 620 is the gematria, a keser, a crown. And in the Aseret HaDibros, there are 620 letters. The last 7, Asher L'Reyecha, last 7 letters is the hint to the Rabbanim. Reyacha, your friends, your comrades, one who are trying to help you. But the last letter is the end of Chaf. If you look at the way a Chaf is, it goes down. That's Chanukah. Chanukah is something that descends lower. Chanukah was brought to us through Mesiras Nefesh. The Chashmonaim, if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't have a Chanukah. There wouldn't be an Am Yisrael if it wasn't for them. Matisyahu and his small group of warriors, they were risking their lives to preserve the Klal Yisrael. So the parshas that we read on Shabbos, sometimes it's just Vayeshev, rarely. Sometimes it's Vayeshev and Miketz. Sometimes it's just Miketz. But all these parshas are always coming out with Chan. It's connected about Yosef, the one who was Moser Nefesh to protect his own purity. Now, Chanukah was a mitzvah that was set up by the Sanhedrin, right? In the times of the Chashmonaim. So the Medrash tells us that every single generation has to listen very carefully to the Gedolei Hador, the leaders of that. They brings a mice from Rav Shach Zatzal. They asked him, did you ever go hear Trotsky, the communist, speak? He said no. Because anybody who went to go speak to him, heard one of those speeches, they were lost to Judaism forever. It was only those who followed the directives of the Gedolim and who told them to stay far away from all that, they were the ones who survived spiritually. If we want to survive and thrive, we have to be able to have Moser Nefesh to listen to the guidelines of our Gedolim. Just like Tamar, daven for Hashem, daven to Hashem for success. She said, Pesach Einayim. So when we stand the door, or wherever we're going to be lighting our Chanukah, we have to daven. There's a special tefillah from the Bnei Yisachar before lighting it, that they should be counted like we're doing all the mitzvahs that were set up the way they should be. Skver Rebbe Zatzal said these days are like diamonds. So what a shame would be not to gather diamonds of Chanukah. With the holiness of the candles, the fire of Hallel, the eating of the Chanukah meals that include singing and praising Hashem, we should be zoiche that we merit to see the Or HaGanuz of our neshama, Or Chadash HaTzion Toyer, V'nizkei Chulanu Yachad B'Mheira Li'oiro. Wishing everyone good Shabbos.